Good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Our program returns to Tuesday nights, and on our premiere this evening, we'll look at how the University of Missouri is preparing for thousands of students who return before classes start on Monday. We'll hear from the people who find somewhere for many of these students to live, who will get their textbooks and computer supplies ready, who will make the necessary arrangements for students with disabilities, and we'll hear from the officers who make keeping everyone here at Mizzou safe their priority. We're all getting ready for a new year here at the University of Missouri tonight on Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. Well, good evening, and welcome to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. Welcome back. Hope you've had a good summer. School's back. A lot of the area schools started last week, as they did in Jefferson City. Columbia Public Schools started up today, and this coming Monday, classes begin here at Mizzou and at all four campuses of the University of Missouri system. Now, using numbers from last fall, we can guess that somewhere in the neighborhood of 35,000 students will be enrolled here at the University of Missouri Columbia campus. Several thousand of them will be new freshmen coming to college for the first time. It takes a whole lot of people, a great deal of time, to get the campus ready for a new school year. And tonight we'll talk with some of them. In a moment, we'll start off with Frankie Miner, who heads up Residential Life. Then we'll welcome Barbara Hammer to the show to discuss disability services at Mizzou. Later, Michelle Fraze will describe how the Mizzou store is getting books to all those students, and Mizzou Tigers gear for game day as well. And then perhaps the most important job, we'll talk to Captain Brian Weimer and hear about how the university's police department will help get everyone moved in safely and protect the safety of those 35,000 some odd students, as well as all the faculty, staff, and visitors who come to the campus each day. We'll start with Frankie Miner, who heads up Residential Life. Now, a lot of folks had a little bit of trouble finding our KBIA studios. We are in a temporary home while work is being done on Jesse Hall. But it was no problem for Frankie. He remembers when our studio in McReynolds Hall was a residence hall for Mizzou students. All right, it's KBIA and Thinking Out Loud. Tonight on the program, we're talking about a lot of ways in which the campus is getting ready as the students come back into town. School just about to start. And joining us is Frankie Miner, as Director of Residential Life. He is responsible for finding an awful lot of students somewhere to live here on the Mizzou campus. And Frankie, welcome. Thanks for coming in today.
Nice to be here, Darren.
Let's first of all talk about just the process. This has got to be an incredible undertaking, particularly since an awful lot of the people that you're finding a home for are going to be new to campus and still kind of finding their way around.
Yeah, it's been a real challenge. One of the biggest challenges that we face this year, and it's a good problem to have, is that more and more people want to come to Mizzou. In fact, the freshman class size we projected earlier is going to be significantly larger than we projected, and looks like it's going to be on track to be the largest we've had in MU history. That's great for MU. It's a challenge for us because we hadn't counted on quite as many coming in. But as of just this week, we've been able to offer all of the freshmen a housing contract. We had about 200 at one point on a wait list, but we've offered them all contracts. So we've got space for everybody. It's going to be a little tight, but there's room for everyone.
For those who it's maybe been a little while since they were in school, talk about the rules. I know that it's no longer the old deal where you lived on campus for your entire 4 years, but at least the freshmen, as I understand it, are required to have on-campus housing if they're not living with their parents here in Columbia.
We have a housing policy which says that first-time college students under the age of 20 should live on campus. And that's because of all the benefits associated. There's decades of research nationally that goes back that says students who live on campus, even 1 year, just do better academically and more likely to graduate. While that's been our policy for the last, we've never rigidly enforced it because we know what's best for most students, but we don't get in the way of a family's decision about what's best for their individual student.
Okay.
And every year we've had 400 to 500 students who have opted not to live on campus. But rest assured, we still think that for most students, living on campus their first year is the best way to start off their college career.
Frankie Miner with us from Residential Life here at the University of Missouri, and we've talked about this before. You and I are just about the same age, and the one thing that I think has changed drastically in your world I don't mean to be a grumpy old man about it, but this stuff's nicer than what we had when we were in the dorms 30 years ago, man.
There's no doubt about it, particularly as we're sitting in one of those older vintage residence halls right now.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, when most of our residence halls were built, air conditioning was not included in that.
I remember.
It wasn't standard in most American homes back in the 30s and 40s and 50s when our buildings were built. In fact, the newest hall, when I started here, was built in 1965. So I think the amenities have changed, even the electrical needs. How I got the institution's attention about the needing to upgrade these facilities is I asked them, how many electrical appliances did a student bring in 1965? You could count that on one hand.
Probably, yeah.
And that's what the electrical capacity was designed for. Today's student, each one brings about 20 to 25, and there's two of them in a room.
Jeez.
So, yeah, in that sense, we just need that. But the key thing that we've emphasized is we're providing nicer accommodations. But I wouldn't really classify them as luxury accommodations. We've done a lot more emphasis on the educational components. There are study rooms on the floors. There's computer labs in those facilities. We actually have 10 different classrooms now in the residence halls where about 100 sections of class are taught each year. So for some students, going to class may be as simple as going downstairs.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that we're hearing you talk a lot about the research says and what they're doing in other places. Say, this is a complicated deal. It's not just we've got to get a room with four walls to shove everybody into.
And I think that's where Mizzou really stands out on the map. It's one of the reasons that brought me here 20 years ago is the institution had a commitment that the residence halls are not just a place to sleep. They are really part of the learning enterprise this year. That's why two-thirds of our students choose their housing based upon academic or other types of interest. We've got our freshman interest groups where about a third of the freshmen coming in are not only taking common classes together and living together, they're linked with upperclassmen and a faculty member in that area as well. Then we've got the opportunity with our thematic learning communities, about another third of our students, who just live together with people who have some common interests with what's going on. So we're really trying to integrate the students' living experience as part of their learning experience as well. And we really kind of set the trend on that. I'm really proud, for the last 14 years, U.S. News & World Report has ranked Mizzou as one of the top 20 institutions for its emphasis on living and learning.
Nice. Well, I think that we can relate to that being a really good idea. I'm a journalism student. I'm living with other journalism students. I'm a music student. I'm living with other music students. And the guy in the room next door is a senior, and I can go ask him about this professor or this class or whatever, and that's going to have some very useful information for folks. Got to be an incredibly busy time for you guys. Just talk about the whole process of getting everybody in here in a week or two.
I know one of the amusing things that people often say, oh, it's summer, it must be a really slow time for
yeah,
you.
I bet.
No, it's just busy in a very different way. First of all, we host, probably about 25,000 to 30,000 visitors on our campus through our summer camps and conferences. And for many young people, their first exposure to Mizzou was coming in for band camp or wrestling camp or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we keep our facilities pretty active during the summer months and for the summer welcome orientation program, where our newest students are coming in for a day and a half of experience as well. In the meantime, that's a lot of the time we also have a chance to do some of the deep cleaning or the renovation that we can't do when the buildings are occupied. So for us, for many of our staff, particularly our maintenance and custodial staff, the summer is their busiest time of the year, and we're always seem to be rushing right to the very last minute. We don't officially open for another week, but we've got thousands of women coming in on Sunday for sorority recruitment. Marching Mizzou is going to start coming in on Sunday as well. So we'll be working Sunday night and right up to the things Sunday morning.
Well, and we all know from personal experience, you can have great professors, but if the rest of what's going on around you isn't working right, the college experience isn't going to work right.
Exactly. So if the hot water's not hot and the cold water's not cold and the food doesn't taste good, it shades everything else.
Right on. Frankie Miner from Residential Life, thank you a lot for the time today.
Thanks. Nice talking to you, Darren.
And you can hear quite a bit more about what's going on with Residential Life and more from all of tonight's guests at our website. Go to kbia.org for Thinking Out Loud in our news programs. We've got much longer conversations with all of tonight's guests and some more information about all of the topics on the University of Missouri campus that we're talking about. That's at kbia.org. KBIA, your NPR station, Thinking Out Loud. And as we have done several times in the past tonight, we're talking with several folks from around the University of Missouri campus. Classes just about to start in a few days, and we're just kind of talking with some folks about how the campus is preparing for this influx of thousands of young people and our town changing so very much. And one of the folks I wanted to talk to this evening for the program that we've not had on the show before is Barbara Hammer. She is the director of the Disability Center here on the University of Missouri campus, has been on campus for about 13 years and has been the director over there for 6 or 7 years now. And Barbara, first of all, welcome. Thanks a lot for being on the show today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Let me have you start by just telling us, I mean, the name makes things fairly self-evident, but just kind of talk about the basic mission, what the Office of Disability Services is about.
Our responsibility is for students with disabilities on campus. We want to ensure that they have an equal opportunity to pursue an education. Ensuring that they have access to the programs, to the services, to the educational process. Much of what we do is facilitate accommodations for students. That's mm-hmm. how we provide access.
We were talking about this before, and one of the things I want to get into right away, when we say disability services, mm-hmm. I think the first thing that pops up in somebody's mind is a young man or a young woman in a wheelchair, and that's obviously a large part of what you're
right.
talking about doing,
right.
making sure buildings are accessible, things like
right.
that, and I've watched over my years a remarkable transformation. It's so much better now than it used to be. But what you guys do when we talk about disability, it's a whole lot more than the prototypical physical disability we're talking
it
about.
It is absolutely a whole lot more. The majority of the students that come through our office are actually students with non-visible disabilities.
Okay.
So a lot of them come in with attentional difficulties, a diagnosis of ADD, ADHD. A lot of them have learning disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Students with psychological disabilities, a lot of mental health concerns, and students with chronic health conditions. So there are a lot of students walking around campus who are associated with our office you would never know by just looking at them.
You mentioned one in particular, and it caught my ear because it's something I've lived with for a lot of years, including a lot of years when we had no idea what the heck it was. People just thought I was the flighty sort. Attention deficit, that makes college hard.
It makes it really tough.
Talk about, you mentioned accommodations. What can be done to make things, because I know there's a lot of people probably listening that have a 14-year-old that's struggling with junior high school math homework or whatever it is with attention deficit, and they've got to be thinking to themselves, how is this kid going to get through college?
Right. I think it's particularly challenging for them in that educational environment
mm-hmm.
because that's a fairly artificially created situation when you go to a class and sit for 50 minutes and listen to somebody talk, or an hour and 15, and then when you have to sit down and take exams in a huge hall full of, you know, hundreds of other students, some of whom are coughing, shuffling, moving around, blowing their nose, who knows what's going on. And for a lot of these students, the access that we're providing is really just minimizing the distraction so that they really can focus. And so for most students coming in, taking exams through our office, we provide them with a quieter space. Sometimes they ask for extended time. That often makes a lot of sense. They just need a little bit more time because of the amount of distraction that they experience. But we also see for a lot of those students that they have difficulty managing their time.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring out how to prioritize things. And so while that's not actually an accommodation or providing access, we certainly want to ensure that those students have those supports. We work with partners on campus to do things like that a lot.
I'm sure there's going to be a relatively similar setup. Autism spectrum disorders,
mm-hmm.
there's so much more discussion about it, so many more people with the diagnoses and being treated and having IEPs and all of those things, and whether it's there's a lot more people with autism spectrum disorders or just we know more about it and they're getting
right.
diagnosed and they weren't before but they were still there is a difficult conversation. But talk a little bit about how that's affecting what's going on in your office, because I'm sure there's
yes.
a lot of young people now coming through.
There are. And I would venture a guess that there are far more students on campus who are on the autism spectrum than we see.
Okay.
Because they don't necessarily come through our office because they don't see that the accommodations that we typically provide are what they would typically need.
Sure.
What you and I were talking about earlier is that we have a young man who's going to be working with us this fall who himself is on the autism spectrum and is going to be mentoring some of our entering freshmen who are on the spectrum. And I think that's going to be very helpful because when I speak with colleagues on campus and faculty that I've been mm-hmm. working with who have a real strong interest in shoring up some of the supports that we have for students on the spectrum, we all recognize that that's probably what they need more than anything else, because for them, the challenges are in the social environment quite frequently, where they live, interacting with peers in social settings, working in student organizations, communicating with people, knowing how to work with professors, knowing how to access resources like the Learning Center. Those are all challenges for students on the spectrum.
Sure.
They can just get stuck and have a real hard time with that. So, yeah.
It's got to be very satisfying for you, because I know that there have got to be young people that are coming to school, that are going to class, that are graduating, that when we were in school never would have dreamed, I can go to college, I can get a degree.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think that's why we've seen the significant increase in the number of students that come through our office.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think every year we've seen a larger number of students entering, freshmen coming in, and students who are coming in who have been here for a while and are coming to the realization that we can be a support for them, we can be a resource. So, yeah, it is gratifying. I mean, it does make a difference. It's been really nice.
Well, the website again is disabilitycenter.missouri.edu. Their phone number here on campus, they're located in the Memorial Union, is 882-4696. And Barbara Hammer with Disability Services, thank you a lot for coming on Thinking Out Loud tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, it's Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. The students coming back to Columbia, and we're getting ready here on the Mizzou campus. And tonight we're talking with several people from the university about different areas and how things are going. And our next guest is Michelle Fraze. She has a wonderful title. It's one of those that has to be continued on the next card. She's the Assistant Director for Strategic Communications for Student and Auxiliary Services.
Yes.
Michelle, welcome.
Thanks for having me here. It does roll trippingly off the tongue, doesn't
it? Yes. Okay, now what's the quick and dirty explanation of what you really do?
I make sure that all of the services and programs that we offer through Student Auxiliary Services, which are the University of Missouri bookstores, the Mizzou store, and the student unions, I make sure that we are communicating our value, and I'm a liaison to make sure that we're delivering what we say we're going to deliver. And work with all of our different customers.
You used the words there that I want to get to right away. For people that were in school here 15 or 20 years ago, it's not the university bookstore anymore.
No, it's not. We went through a rebranding process, and we changed our name to the Mizzou store. And that was not done lightly.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we had, and you see this nationally in college stores, although everything was supposed to have been digital by today, you know, 10 years ago, we were all supposed to be
everybody's
with our
have
digital
their thing
chips
on their, yeah,
and reading our textbooks, you know, through our digital chips. What happens 20 to 30 years from now if there's not a hard book that you sell? And what does that say to your customer if you're a bookstore? Well, why would I go to the bookstore? But we deliver a lot more than books. I mean, our primary mission is to carry the course materials in the most cost-effective way that we can for our students. But we also help support the Mizzou brand and the brands of the other campuses that we serve in the system. So
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. So I want to real briefly jump in and interrupt you here. When we talk about the Mizzou stores, yes, you've got the store here on the campus, and you're providing the books for the students here. But the group you're working with is also operating the store at UMSL, at RALA, at Science and Tech, and also at UMKC.
Right. We work through a shared services model. It's kind of unique in higher education and campus retail. We started with the Mizzou store here. And we also operate the unions within Student Auxiliary Services. And we found we were sharing a lot of resources, like through communications or marketing or HR and IT, and thought, well, you know, it's hard for small college stores to buy things in bulk. So, for example, we sell more $9.99 Mizzou T-shirts in every color under the sun. It's the most popular thing. You get a good price break when you buy those blank colors and then put the Mizzou or UMSL or UMKC on it. If you're a small store like UMKC was before they were part of our group, you don't get that kind of price breaks. And we don't take GO funding. We are self-supporting auxiliary. We have to pay our own way. But what's left over after you pay the bills is reinvested back
into the school.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good for people to know. Michelle Fraze with us. And the Mizzou store as you mentioned, things have evolved a bit. We talked about the fact that there's less in the way of general books, which for some of us is a little bit of a drag because we always like going through there and going through the books. But you've got a lot more space now for the Mizzou gear and people that are looking for the black and gold T-shirt to wear to the ball game on Saturday or whatever. There's a lot of that going on.
Well, there is. And I think, you know, moving to the SEC has created so much excitement. And when you want to support your university, you wear the university brand. And so one of the role of a college store is to help with that brand identity. Mm-hmm. And we need to we do it really well, I think. You walk into the Mizzou store either here, and we have a smaller store in Chesterfield that that serves that community, not textbooks, but all of the branded gear. And you know you're part of Mizzou.
We did this show first, 7 or 8 years ago, talking about getting ready for the school, and I talked with you then, mm-hmm. and we talked about the fact that it's a very busy time and getting ready for all these students coming in and all the new people that are going to be a little bewildered by the whole process. Talk a little bit about how this has all changed. I mean, I know we all thought by this point they were all going to be carrying their books around in a digital format on their cell phones or whatever, and it's not there yet. Kids are still walking around with real life books, but talk about how the process has changed over these years.
The process for freshmen is very much the same. So we have about 10,000 combined early bird textbook reservations and online orders that are for in-store pickup. So online is growing. Online purchases by students, it's growing, and will probably one day replace the early bird program, except when freshmen are visiting with their families, it's a great service to say, you know what? We'll pull your schedule at the end of the semester, which is what we're doing now. We'll put it in a box. We're going to go through the box with you when you show up to pick up your books. You can decide if you want these. We'll make sure you get first choice of used if you check that little box, which you definitely want to do. If you want digital, if there's an option, we'll put that in too. And then you'll have it all packaged and ready to go. And so that's a great service.
Let me ask you one final question. We're talking a lot about getting the students ready for school and all of that stuff, but we mentioned the fact that there's also the Mizzou gear there, and that's not just for Mizzou students. That's for anybody. People are going to be able to go by there on a Saturday before the game and grab stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. We open early depending on when the game starts, and we stay open late depending on when the game ends. And every Friday before a home football game, you can get 25% off black and gold clothing and items. So that's great, and that's exciting and fun, and we try to make it as fun as possible.
All right, Michelle Fraze, again, remind me the website again for people that are interested in finding either their books and materials for class or their new Tiger cap.
Okay, it is The Mizzou Store, one word, and keep the V in there. It's themizzoustore.com.
Fantastic. Good to see you again, Michelle. Thanks for coming
nice
in.
Nice to see you.
All right, it's Thinking Out Loud, our season premiere program here on KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. I want to remind you again, all of tonight's guests, we visited quite a bit longer than you'll hear on tonight's program just because of the time allotted. But you can hear the full interviews and find out more about all of these different areas of the campus, whether it's disability services or the Mizzou stores or MUPD, as we're about to discuss in a moment. Go to our website, kbia.org, and if you'll click on programs, you'll find Thinking Out Loud. And we'll have longer interviews with all of tonight's guests, and in the weeks and months to come, a lot more really fascinating stuff there. We're going to have more of a web involvement this year. So go to kbia.org, click on programs, for Thinking Out Loud. All right, it's Thinking Out Loud from KBIA tonight. We're kind of previewing the upcoming school year, school getting started with the University of Missouri next week, and we're talking with a lot of people who will be involved this weekend as everybody moves in and then through the next 8 or 9 months of the school year. One of the people whose organization obviously is getting ready for a large influx of students is Captain Brian Weimers with the MU Police Department. Captain, thanks a lot for coming in today and talking with us.
Thanks for having us in.
Let's talk first of all about this coming weekend, because obviously classes start on Monday, but that's not when things get busy. Things probably start getting busy Thursday or Friday as an awful, awful large group of people starts coming into town. And just talk about how you guys are getting ready for that.
Sure. There's a lot of people moving back to town. With that comes a lot of traffic congestion. So every year we work very closely with residential life and other groups to establish a traffic flow pattern, get that out to people to help them get moved in, because we know moving can be a very stressful time for people. A lot of times parents are dropping off their kids for the first time. So to help alleviate that stress, we try to work with them as much as possible to get the traffic flow going, get them in, and get them out.
We talked a little bit about this with Residential Life with Frankie, but when you're talking with people before they even come in, what advice are you giving folks as far as getting ready, and what's the best way to approach moving in?
A lot of it is just making sure that you follow the schedules that Residential Life sent you, because they have very good direction on how to get you in and get you out quickly. They take a lot of stuff that's worked for them in previous years and get that out there. It's important. A lot of people will look at it and think, well, I can do it different. Well, maybe for you personally you could change something, but that affects a whole bunch of people. So their message is to make sure that they get that large group in and large group out. So make sure that you're paying attention to what they're telling you. Work with them, and it'll go smoothly.
Captain Brian Weimer with us. And let's just talk a little bit more about sort of the mission and responsibilities of MUPD. On the one hand, people, you know, maybe don't associate this as being like a big city police department, but just separated for a moment, if you would, in your mind from the city of Columbia, you're talking about one of the larger cities in the state of Missouri, tens of thousands of students, faculty, and whoever else is wandering through, particularly on a football Saturday. And just talk a little bit about the job that goes with keeping this campus safe.
Sure. Our department provides a law enforcement function, and that is the safety and security of our students. With that, we have 37 sworn police officers. We have another 7 security guards, and they're the ones that carry the keys, lock and unlock things, look for lights and other problems that are out. And we also employ part-time employees that go out, provide extra security at residence halls, at some of the smaller concerts, and, of course, make it very easy for us to do the football games, because we couldn't do it without them, because they're the ones out there helping with the traffic direction, those type of things. Our 37 officers simply can't be everywhere at once, so they provide the eyes and ears and get us the information. But it's important for us to rely on our community, and I think with our small community, it is good that we have a close knit with them. They let us know if they see problems and issues, because realize the police can't be everywhere. So we are very fortunate on our college campus to have Residential Life, we have ADAPT, we have the Women's Center, and a lot of groups out there trying to do the same thing we are and get a safe message out, be very proactive, but then also encourage people to call in with problems and issues that they may see, because we may not have seen that, so that we can address them together.
I've asked just about everybody that's been on the show this same basic question. As a professional law enforcement officer and somebody that's done this job for a while, you've obviously made a conscious choice to work on a campus as opposed to being with a municipal police department. And obviously there's some challenges that go with that, but there must obviously also be some good things that go with that, because you have made this decision to stay on campus.
Yeah, it's definitely provides some unique challenges, because you get a new community that comes in each year.
Sure.
So, but once again, we're very fortunate on a college campus, because you are not in it alone. You have the groups like Residential Life, you have ADAPT, you have all these groups working together to make sure that people are safe. They give us great opportunities to get out and build relationships with our community. So it's good to work with them in those aspects, and it makes it a rewarding job for our people. You see a lot of young people coming in that's here to learn. So you have the ability to strongly influence and help people with their lives. So I think that's a key for why we become university officers as opposed to city officers.
Captain Brian Weimer, MU Police Department. Again, it's mupolice.missouri.edu, and we appreciate the time an awful lot, and enjoy your school year as it gets going.
Great. Thanks for helping us get the information out.
And remember, you can hear a lot more from all of our guests. Just go to kbia.org. Click on Programs for Thinking Out Loud. And our thanks to all of our guests this evening, and thanks to you for joining us once again for another year. It's our 8th season of Thinking Out Loud. And remember to join us again next Tuesday here on KBIA. Till then, for all of our guests from the University of Missouri, Frankie Miner, Barbara Hammer, Michelle Fraze, and Captain Brian Weimer, and for our associate producer, Trevor Harris, I'm Darren Helwedge. Have a great evening.